But while that voice sounded, the solitude, the desolation had been endurable. By virtue of it, London had still seemed alive, and the sense of life about me had upheld me. Then suddenly a change, the passing of something, I knew not what, and then a stillness that could be felt. Nothing but this gaunt quiet. London about me gazed at me spectrally. The windows in the white houses were like the eye sockets of skulls. About me, my imagination found 1,000 noiseless enemies moving. Terror seized me, a horror of my temerity. In front of me, the road became pitchy black as though it was tarred, and I saw a contorted shape lying across the pathway. I could not bring myself to go on. I turned down St. John's Wood Road and ran, headlong, from this unendurable stillness toward Kilburn. I hid from the night and the silence, until long after midnight in a cabman's shelter in Harrow Road. But before the dawn, my courage returned, and while the stars were still in the sky, I turned once more toward Regent's Park. I missed my way among the streets, and presently saw down a long avenue, in the half-light of the early dawn, the curve of Primrose Hill. On the summit, towering up to the fading stars, was a third Martian, erect and motionless like the others. An insane resolve possessed me. I would die and end it, and I would save myself even the trouble of killing myself. I marched on recklessly toward this Titan, and then as I drew nearer and the light grew, I saw that a multitude of black birds was circling and clustering about the hood. At that, my heart gave a bound, and I began running along the road. I hurried through the red weed that choked St. Edmund's Terrace. I waded breast high across a torrent of water that was rushing down from the waterworks toward the Albert Road, and emerged upon the grass before the rising of the sun. Great mounds had been heaped about the crest of the hill, making a huge redoubt of it. It was the final and largest place the Martians had made. And from behind these heaps there rose a thin smoke against the sky. Against the skyline, an eager dog ran and disappeared. The thought that had flashed into my mind grew real, grew credible. I felt no fear, only a wild, trembling exultation, as I ran up the hill toward the motionless monster. Out of the hood hung lank shreds of brown, at which the hungry birds pecked and tore. In another moment, I'd scrambled up the earthen rampart and stood upon its crest, and the interior of the redoubt was below me. A mighty space it was, with gigantic machines here and there within it, huge mounds of material, and strange shelter places. And scattered about it, some in their overturned war machines, some in the now rigid handling machines, and a dozen of them, stark and silent and laid in a row, were the Martians, dead, slain by the putrefaction and disease bacteria against which their systems were unprepared, slain as the red weed was being slain. Slain, after all man's devices had failed, by the humblest thing that God, in his wisdom, has put upon this earth.